Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
So I've had to, over the last 3 weeks, I've been at Super Bowl week and now at All-Star week. Yeah. It's a lot.
You're quite the thought. You have, there are very few people who have made it to Super Bowl and All-Star weekend, back-to-back weekends, that don't have, you know,
work to do.
Very large heels on. So I'm happy for you, my man.
Yeah, I'm trying to survive it. But we're
I just
all about
called
the,
my guy a thought on
it's
radio.
It's totally fine. Yeah.
For the 17% out there, laugh as hard as you need to laugh
this
right
demo
now.
This demo doesn't know what thought is.
Not at all.
Some of them
not
do. And that's what we could bring. But never mind.
That's what we could bring.
We could bring.
What is this, like a test case? Like, are we selling ourselves right
Urban
now?
Urban Dictionary radio.
Make me a bicycle clown.
That was a lot of fun hanging out with Goff, talking with the guys from the All the Smoke podcast. Friday's show was insane. The more I think about it, the more crazy good it actually was. Welcome into the program. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. Here's what we have planned. There's a lot of stuff that I want to go through. There's a lot of sound that I want to go through, some things to catch up on. Also, my guy Cam Smith, from Stadium and MSG. He's a Chicago dude. I ran into him at the All-Star game. I was like, can you, it's short notice, man, but can you come and hang out at 1 o'clock and we could talk a little bit about Bulls basketball and the All-Star game and the All-Star game experience? And he was like, no problem. So he's going to come and hang out with me for a little bit. I can just tell you before we get started, I really was impressed with the city's handling and the NBA's handling of the All-Star festivities. I thought there was a chance that it would be a cluster, and it was not. And I thought that everything, Shaka's singing the anthem, I mean, it was his own thing, and I love her anyway. And I know Herbie was like, ooh, Shaka Khan, 66. Nice.
I mean, still getting it done, 66.
I mean,
I thought that was a little young. I thought she was older, but still.
Well, I mean, she's an ingenue. Like, she started early on with Rufus back in the day. And she played a pivotal role in maybe the biggest moment in Chicago hip hop. I mean, her allowing Kanye on Through the Wire to sample Through the Fire, I mean, it's a big, big deal. Anyway, we'll get into more of that later. But we start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here is your rundown for Tuesday, February 18, 2020. There have been weather in Daytona that delayed the Daytona 500 a day. And then yesterday, even though Denny Hamlin won, most people were concerned about what happened to Ryan Newman.
Newman off turn four for the final time. Blaney to the outside, to the inside. Here comes Hamlin up the outside.
Wow.
Crash into the wall, into the air goes Newman.
Upside down.
In a shower of sparks on his roof, Ryan Newman comes across the line fourth and comes to rest.
Okay, that's probably a bad turn of phrase there, but he's in serious condition without life-threatening injuries. It's a weird thing to try and do play-by-play in NASCAR or in open wheel where you're describing what happens in crashes, because you can even hear in the highlight the announcer fighting his excitement over a crash at the checkered flag. Because someone might be dead. in the car. But it looks like Ryan Newman is going to be okay, and that's the best news of all. As I said, Denny Hamlin wins the Daytona 500. Now on to the Cubs. Javier Baez has said some pretty interesting things about how the team prepared for games over the last couple of years, including how he prepared.
It wasn't something bad, but we have a lot of options, things, not mandatory, and everybody kind of sit back on that, even including me, because I wasn't really going out there and preparing for the game. I was getting ready during the game, which is not good. But this year, I think we before the games, we gotta be all everybody out there as a team, and stretch as a team and be together as a team so we can play together.
So let me get this straight. The manager treats you like an adult, and you then take advantage of said manager for treating you like an adult by not doing your job and getting prepared. I'm glad that Javi at least owned that on his own, like spoke about his own experience in that. And I know that there are some people like, well, that's on Joe. I can't tell you. And I know that when you're trying to relate jobs, it's difficult because they live in a different world than we do. I know that I appreciate the latitude that I am given by my boss and that he treats me like an adult. Understanding that if I don't prepare for my show, I'm the one who's going to look like an idiot. And he's going to get my ass up out of here. It boggles my mind that was the way to repay Joe's belief in you. Especially that guy. Now, you know how I feel about Javier Baez. I adore him. No one fought harder for Javier Baez to be with the Major League roster than Joe Maddon did. And that's how you repay him. Not doing all the things that you need to do to be prepared for games. And then when he's gone, like, yeah, they gave us a lot of optional days. And damn it, I took them and I wasn't ready for it. Kyle Schwarber said this about preparation.
I can only speak for myself on the fact of the matter. And, for me, I try to do whatever I need to do to get prepared. And, if that's taking initiative and taking it in your own hands, you got to do it. But, I always try to be ready for stepping on the field at the 120, 75, whatever it is.
That is correct, Kyle. It's on you, fam. This is going to be a really interesting year because if the Cubs don't play at or above their expectations, what will they say at the end of this year? Because David Ross is doing all of the hard coachy stuff. Like, he's out here and he's giving speeches and doing all of this stuff. I hope it manifests into there being some winning and that at the end of this, we're not like, oh, well, he drove us too hard. He wanted us out on the field early every day. Unbelievable. Over on the White Sox side, Ricky Renteria said this about the type of at-bats that he wants for his White Sox this year.
A power hitter can hit the ball out of right center, left. So if I say, hey, listen, you got a man on second base. Worst case scenario, I get him to third. But with you, you could probably drive the ball into the right center field gap or center field deep enough to get him over. But if you hit it well enough, you're going to actually click it out of the ballpark. In either case, we're going to end up having a positive outcome, a productive at bat. I'm not trying to keep them from doing what they do. Not at all. I think that as you watch the game, it'll dictate, what it is we do. But I certainly want these guys to be not lock themselves into just one thing.
Okay, so what I hear there is a guy who's not going to bunt, right?
Hopefully not with the power hitters. Who's he going to have bunt? Nick Magical? Yeah.
Slappy?
But he's bunting for a hit. I would like that. Butting to give yourself up to move a guy, just dumb.
It. In specific cases, I'm okay with it. And I know that the numbers don't even bear that out. If it's close and late, and we're talking about, you know, no outs in the bottom of the eighth, you have a runner on second, I would still prefer that you swing away, but I understand the sacrifice to get the guy to third. But we saw White Sox hitters doing that very early in games. And I'm sure Slappy's going to be up here just so that he can do it. Yes, Campy?
Edwin Encarnacion, bunts on the year, 0.5 is the number.
Under. I'm going under on that. You're not gonna tell Edwin Encarnacion to bunt.
You're also not gonna tell Rick Renteria to not tell other people to bunt.
Well, my thing is he'll replace him. Like if he's gonna tell Encarnacion to bunt, he'll put Lori Garcia up there in his spot. That's what he'll do.
He told him to do it. He did it, and instead of running out to first, he like actually gets the parrot out just for the slow, you know, HJ trot to first.
Oh, wow. HJ Trotts is a great restaurant.
It's also my favorite Red Sox prospect.
Wow.
I think he represented me last year in bankruptcy.
HJ Trotts. I think he did too. That is your rundown for Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. There's a lot of stuff that I want to get into. There's some sound that I want to hear, that I want to share with you from stuff that I heard, whether it's over the weekend or some of the stuff happened today that I want to get into. When we come back, I want to talk about the Cubs and Chris Bryant, but I also want to talk about my experience at All-Star Weekend, why I was apprehensive about spending time there, and why I walked away being changed after spending some time around the NBA. I'll share that with you next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Watching Chicago show out for All-Star Weekend and All-Star Week really was pretty great. Look, I've talked about it a little bit on the show. As I've gotten older, I've been more anxiety-ridden or anxious when it comes to big events and big crowds and things of that nature. So when Shane said to me, well, we're going to credential you for All-Star Week, I said, okay. how many of these events am I going to go to, and am I going to be able to handle all of this stuff? And the other thing was, is Chicago going to be good at handling this? I thought the NBA did a tremendous job with this whole thing. Even with the silly stuff, where you have different uniforms and each uniform corresponds to one of the L lines. Like, that was cool to me. The stuff that they did at Navy Pier, the junior NBA tournament that went on at Navy Pier. Then you get to the big days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this thing. So I decided that Saturday was going to be my day where I just threw myself into All-Star Weekend. There was an event over at St. Sabina's, and it's not too far from me. They do a peace tournament. They've done it for the last 4 years, and Spike Lee is a big part of it. And I walked into the arc over there at Sabina, and you see Bill Russell, like, speaking to children and young players. It's a packed house. It's a lot of fun. Shout out to Joe Soto. Joe to the soul to the toe. He was the MC for the event. And it was great. Like, it's one of those places where I get to blend in a little bit. So I was just blending in, like, taking in the vibe. I got home Saturday night. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to NBA All-Star Saturday night. Even though Chris Herring was like, don't go for the dunk contest because it'll be better at home. So I went halfway. I stuck around for the skills challenge and the three-point contest. And then I bounced so that I could get home in time to watch the dunk contest. Some cool things happened to me while I was there. I got to see a lot of the beautiful people. Somehow, like, I was in Adam Silver's press conference, and I'm very impressed by Adam Silver. As far as commissioners go, for whatever that means to you, he is clearly the most prepared to speak publicly about things. Most of this press conference, I will tell you, of the I think 50 minutes that he was available to us, most of it was spent talking about the NBA's relationship with China, which is difficult and layered and nuanced. And I thought that he did a good job of handling some really tough questions about the NBA and their relationship. I don't agree with him on a lot of these things, but I thought that he did a good job handling it. Let me give you an example of what I mean by his handling of issues versus other executives and specifically other commissioners of sports. Here's a question about TV Nuggets games being blacked out in Denver because of a dispute that they're having with a carrier. Here's how Adam Silver discussed this.
What has the league's involvement been in the ongoing Altitude TV Comcast dispute, which has left the majority of Denver unable to watch the Nuggets? And the second part is, what obligation do owners have, if any, to ensure that the games are broadcast locally and as widely as possible to their fans?
The league's involvement has been to try to be helpful to both sides. Bill Koenig, who's the head of NBA media, is here. He's had extensive conversations with all the relevant parties and trying to work towards a solution. I think in terms of an owner's obligation, ultimately all of our obligations are to the fans. I think that's absolutely clear. Having said that, that isn't necessarily the answer to the question as to what the terms should be of distributing those games going forward. And I think this relates really to some of the other questions that I've been asked, that there's a lot happening right now transformationally in the media market. And I think that, you know, the RSNs are sort of resetting in terms of their business models. I think the teams are rethinking what the best ways are to distribute our games to reach the most number of fans. And so I think it's a bad situation for everyone. And I'm incredibly sympathetic to those fans that live in Colorado and are unable to get those games. Stan Kroenke and Josh Kroenke are here in Chicago. I've had a chance to talk to them. I know they're extraordinarily frustrated as well. So I think, you know, coming out of All-Star, certainly, you know, Bill Koenig and others in the league office will be redoubling their efforts to try to find a path forward here.
Look, obviously there's some gobbledygook in there, and the man is a lawyer. Like most of the commissioners, he has a law degree. But I got the sense from being in the room, and I've been in the room with Roger Goodell, I'd been in the room with Bud Selig. I haven't been in a room with Rob Manfred yet. Get the feeling that he genuinely cares about the game that he presides over. He listens to questions and he tries to answer them the best way that he can. I had already kind of had that feeling walking into the press conference, but I wanted to see what it was going to be like to be in the room. And then I got a copy of the transcript and went back over it over the weekend. And I find him to be thoughtful. And honestly, like, that's all any of us that love sports wants in the leadership of sports. Whether we're talking about it as high up as ownership in a commissionership, down to the people that run our teams. You just want folks to be thoughtful about this stuff. So that was one thing I walked away from. I'm in the room with it was like a family reunion in a lot of ways, like people from around the country that you don't get a chance to see, friends of yours that are colleagues, like you get a chance to see them at some of these events. So I look up and Layla Rahimi was sitting like right behind me at the press conference. And so we were walking out trying to figure out like some of the coverage stuff that she was going to do and like where we were going to go. So the media in this case, and there were a lot of Chicago media that were mad about this. I wasn't, because at this point I'm used to it. When it comes to big events, you're not always going to get the prime seats. Back in the day, people like Brian McIntyre, for example, would have made sure that the Chicago media had the best seats. But I understand that this was a TNT ESPN joint venture. So the people that were involved with Turner, people that are involved with ESPN, were probably going to get the better seats. So they had me sitting in, I think it was section 324. Like, that's where my seat was for All-Star Saturday night. And I just kind of wanted to see where, like, what was my vantage point and what would everything look like. And then when I figured out that I was behind the stage, I was like, maybe this isn't the best place for me to sit. And then I just kind of walked around and ducked my head in to different places and watched it from there. Anyway, Layla and I are sitting in the hallway that was right outside the big room where they had the press conferences at. And we had somehow just stumbled into the most famous hallway ever. Like, we were just literally talking about, she's like, look, I got to go do this, and this. And where's the auxiliary media room? And we were going through that. And meanwhile, everyone is walking in front of us. Here's Shaq. You know, there's Charles Barkley. The first person that I saw was Mayor Lightfoot. Like, she walked right up to me. And I think maybe she thought I worked for the United Center because I actually dressed like an adult Saturday night, put on a suit and all that good stuff. But then she told me that she liked the football after show. And I was like, well, all right then. I appreciate that. Saw Chance and Kanye and all this stuff going on in the hallway. It was bananas. And for me, like, these are difficult events for me to get through. Like, just it's a sensory overload thing. And it ended up being a lot of fun. I talked with a bunch of fans, like, on my way into and on my way out of the United Center. And we talk about this in sports a lot, the concept of a buzz. There was a buzz about All-Star Saturday night and the All-Star game. Fast forward to Sunday. I was overwhelmed with civic pride. And that's a weird thing to say about a sporting event. And as a Southsider, I felt well represented. A lot of times when the city of Chicago is presented to the country, I'm going to blanket this. So if I'm not speaking for you, I'm not speaking for you. I feel that South and West Side are not as prevalent in those presentations of the city. And I felt like that was not the case on All-Star Sunday. Shout out to the East Side, too, because people don't even realize that Chicago has an East Side, but there is one. But particularly the South and the West Side, I don't feel like there was good representation. I'll say, as a 44-year-old male, in the time capsule aspect of it, I thought we were pretty well represented, too. And Common did this 6-minute intro into Sunday. I'm not going to play it all. But you may have remembered that last week we were having a conversation about Ben Wilson. And people, I was really happy that people like reached out to me and were like, wait, who's Ben Wilson? Why were you and Casey talking about Ben Wilson? To see Ben Wilson's legacy represented by Common right on the biggest stage the NBA had was pretty dope.
If this city could talk, it would say you're from the land of chosen children. So whenever you get on that court, you carry the spirit of Ben Wilson. And the feeling of street legends whose games we all cherish. I'm talking Ronnie Fields, Mac Irvin, Trash, and Billy the Kid Harris. And legends of Chicago who are basketball gods today. Like Mark Aguirre, KG, Isaiah, and Tim Hardaway.
Man. I don't know how it played to the rest of the country, and quite frankly, I don't care. That was the most Chicago-ish ever. To have Common doing spoken word for 6 minutes, having him shout out all the greats, for him to shout out Mark Aguirre, for him to shout out Ben Wilson, like that, it just... It's hard for me to tell you how proud I was. And it's a weird thing because it's where we live, right? Like, are you supposed to be proud of it? I was proud of it. Like, I'm not a big Chance the Rapper guy. Like, he's not for me.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I am a fan of that. That's some of the funniest stuff that's ever been said on television. But I also understand that that's Tony's music. That's these kids now. Like, Chance is to them what Common was to me when I was growing up. And so that vibe, the fact that people were out there doing footwork at the NBA All-Star Game, do you even understand what was happening Sunday? The fact that it was Chaka Khan who was singing the anthem, the only thing that felt like was missing was Mike. And that made me sad. Like, after all of this, after the entire celebration of Chicago went down, at the end of it, like, in the middle of it, you're sitting there like, man, this is dope. Here's Common. Here's what's going on with Chance. Like, Chance is being a big part of what happened on in the slam dunk contest. If kids are doing footwork, Chicago is being represented well. And underrepresented parts of Chicago are being represented well for once. And in the moment, I'm basking in the glow of that, feeling pride and feeling very proud of the show that the NBA put on and the trust that they showed in Chicagoans to do it right. Even throughout the week, I thought that everyone who has any sort of connection to Chicago basketball did their damnedest to show this city in a great light. D. Rose with his book signing. And he, in the peace games that I went to, D. Rose gave out 200 books. The first 200 kids that came in got free copies of his book. So you had that going on. People like Sarah Kustak, who grew up here, who played ball at DePaul, repping it hard. Candace Parker. Like, anyone even close to being associated with basketball in Chicago did a great job of being ambassadors of the city. Let me tell you why the city is great. Let me tell you why Chicago basketball is special. All of these things end up happening throughout the week. And at the end of it, where there's this big celebration, and it's super Chicago and it's very South and West Side and everyone is like a part of this thing. They have the, at the end of it, where he's talking about, you know, every MJ needs a Pippen. Scotty's there. Horace had been in town doing stuff for NBA Cares. And at the end of it, I was like, man, you know, the only thing that was missing was Mike. And I'm not sure why. I mean, I don't know if he was out of town. I don't know if he just didn't want to be involved in it. But it hurt a little bit that he wasn't a bigger part of it. Because everyone was coming. We all know what the United Center is. It's the house that Michael Jordan built. And everyone was paying reverence to that. And yet the dude on the statue wasn't there. It was a little bit of a come down after celebrating everything that had happened. I'm sorry that I kind of went to church on this a little bit. But it meant something to me. It meant something that I'm a very proud Chicagoan. And I think that we're all pretty silly about Chicago sometimes. Like, we love our flag. We will wear that flag on any piece of clothing that we can find. And you can see all the teams have started to incorporate some of that stuff. Even the Bulls. For years, our city gets trashed. We have our problems, and we're very aware of what our problems are. Our city gets trashed a lot, nationally and internationally. The way that we responded with this celebration of the NBA was incredible. And everyone who was a part of it should be proud of it. And everyone who took it in for what it was, every single Chicagoan that sat back while they were watching on Saturday and Sunday night going, you GD right. This is how my city gets down.
Almost exactly.
Right? Well, don't tell anyone.
Okay.
But seeing Dwayne Wade cry at being mentioned with the Chicago Luminaries, like that, it was the most Chicago-ish ever. And I'm glad. And I'm glad that people around the world got to see what we're about. And it's a stupid thing to take pride in, and I freely admit that. But for one night, we got to be our best. For a weekend, we were our best. We put our best stuff forward. And for the most part, the world was like, damn, Chicago is lit. Yeah, that's what we've been trying to tell you for years. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
TheScore.com, a radio.com sports station.
As far as the ambassadors go, I forgot to mention Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was out here at Perspectives talking to kids. Like, it was really heartwarming. Like, a lot of stuff that I saw over the weekend. Now, look, the Bulls didn't do this, and I'm not doing this to take a shot at the Bulls. It was the NBA that did this and all the people. I heard Grody with Anthony Herron, and they're going to be filling in for me later on this week when I go on vacation. They were talking about it, and Grody made a really good point that Common wanted to be there. I mean, how many times have celebrities been invited to stuff like this? And you can tell that it's either about a check or it's about promoting your new work or whatever it was. You could tell that Common, who grew up playing ball, went to Luther North, right? Like, his dad played in the ABA, the Chicago basketball. Like, the fact that he shouted out trash. Like all of it. Like, it was just great. Anyway, there's other stuff that I want to do today beyond that, but I just wanted to give you my feelings on the whole thing. I thought about doing it in podcast form, but I figured we could commiserate a little bit and talk about it. And I appreciate some of the text messages that have come in. There's some baseball stuff that I want to talk about too, including Chris Bryant speaks. So Chris Bryant makes his way out to Mesa, to Sloan Park. He has not been traded as of yet. It feels like the momentum for him being traded is slowed down a little bit too, which is a good thing. Bryant held a 40-minute press conference on Saturday. I would highly recommend that you listen to it. It was pretty great, him talking about a lot of different things. But there were two things that I thought were important for you to hear from the press conference. Let's start with his thoughts on the grievance process and where things stand with him.
Yeah, geez, that took forever. It really did. At the beginning of it, I was told that it would take maybe a couple weeks. So I was, I was ready for it. And then the off season kept going on. I'm like, all right, just come out with let's go. Like, I mean, obviously I knew it was an uphill battle going into it. And I've always, thought that. And, it was just me. I mean, obviously we had a disagreement. We handled it respectfully. I'm very thankful that Theo and the team saw it through. I saw it through to the end because, it was something that I really believed in, and I believe that, my mom, dad has always told me to stand up for what I believe in, and I was going to see the process through, and I saw it through, and respect on both ends. I mean, there's definitely no hard feelings, so let's definitely put that narrative to bed. I definitely saw a lot of things out there saying, oh, there's ill will towards the team. And then there's another one saying there's absolutely no ill will. It's like, okay, well, where are we getting this from? Like,
that was mine.
Oh, maybe it was you. I don't know who it was, but it's like, the only person opinion who's matters here is mine. And I'm right here in front of the microphone telling you guys that there's no hard feelings whatsoever. I mean, I completely respect this organization and everything that they've done for me, my family, giving me an opportunity to play the game that I love every single day. I just saw this as a process that is eventually going to help the players in the next round of negotiating, and I was going to be that guy to have the courage to do it, and I know there's going to be backlash for it, and I understand it, but it was really important to me.
I thought that he handled himself really well, and I'm glad that he wanted to shoot down some of the stuff that been out there, like he doesn't make his own decisions, that he's being led around by the nose by Scott Boras, or that there is some rift between he and the front office. And I think that you have to try and take emotion out of it, even though that there is some emotional aspect to it. Where Bryant, from a business standpoint, understands, okay, I didn't win this grievance, but I've learned something about the business of baseball, and I'm now going to apply that learning to my approach to free agency, if I ever make it to free agency. And trying to understand the Cubs' point of view on this stuff, too. I thought it was well done by him. He talked about how he wanted to be a Cub. He wants to be a Cub for a long time. And that it's up to the team to make that. And that he didn't get an offer. That there was no offer that has been put on the table for him to accept. I thought it was great. The other thing that I thought was great was Chris Bryant going scorched earth on the Astros.
Yeah. You know, I think I haven't looked into it too much, but I even think that there's players that don't want it. I still think they were going through with the banging and stuff because it's really – I think it really turned into a routine there. And a lot of the apology yesterday was a lot about 2017. It's like, I'm pretty sure it was going on in 2018, 2019 too. Like, and that's just so sad, because it's like, just because you, I mean, if they didn't get caught, they'd still be doing it. And, you know, they're only doing this apology because they got caught. And that's, it's, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of feelings on it. And I know everybody around the league is really upset, and rightfully so, because it's really a disgrace to the game.
Did you notice anything last year when you guys were?
I guess I wouldn't notice because I wasn't on the mound, but I think, I mean, I don't know if you guys have talked to our pitchers, if they've noticed, but I don't know if you're banging on a trash can. Yeah. Jeez. I mean, you're banging on a trash can the whole game. I mean, that's pretty loud. Like, I'm surprised they got away with it for 3 years.
Well, now supposedly they have buzzers.
And I totally believe that too. I really do. I mean, I think if you find a way to cheat the system in one way, you're only going to continue to try to push the boundary. And I mean, a lot of the situations and circumstances surrounding this is very suspect, and it's definitely not far-fetched to believe that there were other means of cheating involved.
I'm really glad that baseball players overall are speaking their mind on this subject.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
I mean, it's going to be really interesting how this all affects the Astros. But I wish MLB would stop acting. And Joe's guilty of this, too. Like, I heard Joe talking about, we can't talk about this every day. You want the competitive advantage to not be in the hands of people who are trying to cheat. This is a big, big, big crisis. Like, let's call it what it is. I saw someone yesterday that said it really well on Twitter, and I forgot who it was, but it was like, we're 100 years from the White Sox scandal. There are still documentaries, books, movies, thought pieces on the 1919 White Sox. You think after a couple of apologies, we're just going to let what the 2017 through 19 Astros did just go away? No, we shouldn't. Even in the era of really fast news cycles, we shouldn't. We're going to take a break and come back. My man Cameron Smith is going to be here. We're going to talk some All-Star about his All-Star weekend. We're going to do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.